So today we're in Matthew chapter 2, if you want to read along 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied. "For this is where the prophet had, this is what the prophet had written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may too go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country from another route. So I'm always intrigued by who these people are, and the lots of ideas about who they might be and speculation about where they come from. But I quite like the idea that they are people who heard the story about the Christ 600 years previously in the exile. If you go right back in the Old Testament to the time of Daniel, Daniel and some of his friends get taken off by Babylon into the east, into Mesopotamia. And I just wonder whether these are people who knew the God of Daniel, who kind of knew about him, and they've been waiting a long old time for something to happen. They've been waiting for this story that they've heard to come into being. The reason why I think that is because the only other place in the Bible word magi is used is in the book of Daniel. It talks about the magi who come to help interpret the dream that Nebuchadnezzar's had. So I just wonder whether these people have been waiting for years and years and years with a promise of hope, and then in all the watching, in all the waiting, the star appears. And the magi, kind of, the word means to sort of be a magician or a stargazer. It's kind of an old kind of term for people who were kind of wise people who would kind of watch the stars and knew different knowledge, and they kind of apply it all together to find the truth that they were seeking for. And I just wonder whether they've been waiting and watching the skies for 600 years in anticipation of when this God that Daniel spoke about, that in the book of Daniel it talks about one will come at the Son of Man, whether they've been waiting for that to break into the whole of history. That's what I like to think that they are. People who've been watching and waiting for a hope to come. So this morning the question for us is this: what are you waiting for? And you can read this in two ways, can't you? What are you waiting for? Or what are you waiting for? See, for some of us in this room this morning, there's something that you're waiting for. And it's been a long time coming. We've already heard about this already. It's been a long time coming. But for some of you, you know exactly what the future holds. And God's going, "What are you waiting for?" So this morning, which is true for you? What are you waiting for? And in this story, I just want to pull out just a very few quick things for us this morning to think about. Firstly, in this story, Don't lose hope. If they are, these magi from the east, from Mesopotamia, maybe heard the story through Daniel. We don't know. That's all speculation, but maybe. 600 years is a long time to wait. That's a long waiting time. Waiting and watching. But in that waiting, they're not unbusy. They're watching carefully to see what might happen. About a year and a half ago now, me and Hannah, we decided to grow an avocado plant on our windowsill. And what you do is you take the seed out of an avocado, you put some cocktail sticks in it on a jam jar, and you leave it there. And I thought probably within the space of a few weeks, something would happen. After about 9 to 10 weeks and nothing had happened, I was getting a bit like, what is this on our window still? It just looks gross, and it's just why we still got it. And Hannah's like, no, wait, it will happen, it will happen. 12 weeks, 13 weeks, nothing seemed to happen. And eventually there's this one little tiny root that came out the bottom of the avocado. And I was like, oh, this is so, so tedious, so boring. And what I discovered is avocados take such a long time to grow. And even when the root came, it was there another 5 or 6 weeks before it got bigger and it grew more. And then we just had this weird stone with a weird root on it. And then it was even more weeks. It was probably another 10 weeks before then actually the first little sprout came from the top of the seed. And it was just like, what is this? And I'm getting more and more cross because the water's on the windowsill is going green. And I'm like, it looks horrible. And I was like, wait, it will happen, it will happen. We become so impatient, don't we? But actually, as Laura talked about the seeds, there's a time to sow and there's a time to reap, the Bible says. There's a time for everything. There might be something that you're waiting to happen, waiting for a season to change. Maybe there's something, a promise that God's given you that you are still waiting upon. Don't lose hope. Jesus tells a story about growing a seed in Mark 4. And he says, the kingdom of heaven, the way God's kingdom works, is like a farmer who goes and plants a seed. And it says, day or night, whether he gets up or he rests, the seed grows all by itself. There's a reliance on God doing his thing. Actually, God's timing is right. God's timing is perfect. It says in Romans, you see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Just at the right time. God's timing is spot on. And it always is. It's just our impatience gets in the way of recognizing what God's up to. And that's what we learn from the Magi, is that they're prepared to wait and watch. Waiting for the moment when God breaks into history. They're waiting for the moment when God says, now's the time to go. You've been waiting for this, but now is the time. This is the moment. They could have left years before and searched for something they would never have found because it wasn't in God's timing. And so often we become so impatient that in that story of the growing seed, we're the farmer who goes out and we sow one day, and the next day we're out with a spade waiting to see the fruit and going, why has it not happened today? And it's going, you haven't given it the season of letting God do his thing, where God grows something in us to bring about the fruit and the purposes and the plans that he has for us. So in the waiting, don't lose hope. God is always at work. I don't know if you've ever done this, but you've ever looked back over your life and you see God at work in your life. And you go, gosh, he was busy. But in that moment, in that time, you think, oh, nothing's happening. But when you look back, you go, oh, God was doing this and God was doing that. See, God is never inactive. God is never inactive. But what we think is that if God isn't seemingly being active like we think he should be, then we should step in and we need to be active. We need to start doing something, making something happen. We try and jump in and go, oh, God, I've heard what you said. I've seen your star. Right, I'm just going to get on my way and I'm going to make this happen. It's kind of what happens to the Magi in this story. What happens is They see the star, they know a king has been born, and they follow the star up to the point where they think, actually, where would a king be born? He'd be born in a palace. So we'll go to the palace rather than keep following the star. Because if you read after the story, after they've been to Herod's palace, it says they came out, saw the star again, and it was over Bethlehem. So what happened was, they set out on their journey with all the good intentions of following the star, of going on the path and the journey that God had for them, following the vision and the way that God had planned for them. But they got taken off track because they thought they knew where this was going. And so often for us, we get sidetracked by something that looks like the fulfillment of God's story for us, but it actually isn't. Because we kind of give God a bit of a hand and a helping shove and say, well, if I just put myself in this place, then God, you'll do the thing that you're promising to do. Often we try and shove God to do the thing that we think we expect of him. The Magi expected a king to be born in a palace. But he wasn't going to be born in a palace. They got sidetracked and went to see Herod. It's so easy in the journey of faith to try and decide to make things happen for ourselves. We've heard a promise from God, and then we go all out to force that into being. And the reason why the parable of the growing seed in Mark 4 is so powerful is because it's saying, you can't force a seed to grow. You can't force it. All you can do is create the best conditions possible for it to do its thing. And so in our watching and our waiting, all we can do often is just be ready and waiting. They're watching the skies. They're ready, but they're not yet active until God says go. And often in our lives, we're trying to force things to happen. We live in the tension of going, I've got to be ready, but I need to not jump ahead until God says. We need to be ready, but not jump ahead. Don't get sidetracked by something that looks like God's plan for you, but actually isn't. I've told the story before, and I'll tell it again. When I left Baptist College and was looking for a church, I went to talk to a church that on paper looked perfect. It looked great. And I went to go and preach at the church, and it was the church we got on really well. It was fantastic. It was really good. We were talking about all the things we might do in the community and how we might get on with this. And the church was really excited. I was really excited. It looked spot on. I knew I was called to be a Baptist minister. I was there ready with the church saying, yes, come, we'll have you. I remember getting home after being in that church and thinking, wow, that was amazing. With all these great plans in my head of all the things we could do. And God said, that's not it. That's not it. And I was like, but it's so perfect. It looks so good on paper. It looks fantastic. I love the people. The people love me. It's fantastic. It's great. And it just wasn't the right thing. I thought it ticked all the boxes. To me, I was happy to make it happen because it kind of seemed like it would be a good thing. But I've told the story before. Then when I came to Yardley and I walked in the door the first moment, I went, this is it. It wasn't I had to try and make it fit. It was just this is definitely it. This is the thing. This is the right thing. I could have ignored God and gone, well, it seems to fit. Don't get sidetracked by something less than God's promised you. Because if you try and force something to happen, it will never be what God's got planned. It will never be God's best for you. It might seem like it, but believe me, it won't be God's best. Actually being prepared to be patient, to wait, to watch, to hear God say, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? Is this the right thing? Is this not the right thing? When you hear God's voice and respond, you'll find the right way. You'll find the right path. But often it takes lots of time. And we live in a world that is not patient anymore. And the Bible is full of patience. What does God do on day 7? He says, I've made the whole world. Now rest. Wait. Just wait. See, we see waiting as a negative thing. God sees it as a resting thing. God sees your waiting at a time to say, okay, God's got this. I can take my hands off. I can rest. In Mark 4, where the farmer got up by day or rested by night, all by itself the seed grew. So you can see waiting as a negative thing, or you can see waiting actually as a time to rest in the promises of God, ready to see what he's doing. But don't see waiting as a negative thing. God's timing is perfect. Rest in the promise. Don't get sidetracked. Don't try and force it into being. Let God. And lastly, today, I just want to remind you of this. Keep following. As I said, they come out of Herod's palace, having been sidetracked by going, we'll go to the palace because that seems the right thing for where a king should be born. And they come out and go, oh, and then we see the star again, and it's over Bethlehem. They get back on track by following the star again, by following the light. And actually, in the waiting, in the watching, keep following. If you're not sure, keep following. Something I've said before in this church, it's a phrase that was given to me, is if the command hasn't changed, keep doing it. But in the military, if you haven't heard a new command, you keep following the command that you were last given. And same with following Jesus. If the last thing God said to you hasn't changed, you keep doing what you've been told to do. Even if it feels like, oh, I've been doing this for too long. This can't be right. Follow the last commands you were given. Keep following Jesus. And sometimes it feels like, but I'm not getting anywhere. Trust me, keep following. Keep following. God's not going to put his light out on you. Keep looking up. Keep following the light. Keep doing it. And sometimes we don't feel it and actually saying, but I'm just going to keep following. Just going to keep going. And when they get there, they choose to bow down and worship. And what I love about them getting there and bowing down and worshipping is, so when I was in Israel recently, you go to the Wailing Wall, and when you're there, you see all these Orthodox Jews, and they're bobbing up and down like this. And it's like, what are they doing that for? But in that Jewish custom, what they're doing is they're saying, God, take, they read scripture, and they bob up and down. Well, that's what I thought they were doing. What they're actually doing is they're saying, God, take these words from my head to my heart. Take these words from my head to my heart. And when we bow down in worship, what we're doing is we are, yes, we are honoring the King of Kings, but part of what he's doing is saying, God, I take what I know in my head and I bring it to my heart. I make it real. Keep following, keep bowing down, keep worshiping. Keep taking it from your head to your heart so actually you go, God says his timing is perfect. God says he loves me and he knows the plans he has for me, plans to prosper me, not to harm me, but to give me a hope and a future. So God says, so I know that, and so worship is a place where I bow down and say, God, take it from here to here so that I know it and I can live it. That I've got the power to be patient in all that I'm doing. Take it from here to here. When you feel like you've been sidetracked, you get back on track by following Jesus, by just keep doing what he says to do. To keep worshipping and taking it from here to here. And when you do that, it gives you fresh hope again. It allows you to regain the hope that we don't want us to lose. So keep following. And when you get sidetracked, it's often helpful to have something that you go back to as your place to encounter Jesus. I've told you before in this church, for me, if I am struggling to know what to do, in my walk or where I'm at and I feel like I'm lost and I've gone off track, I drive to North Wales and there's a rock in the Ogden Valley which I sit on, and that's where I meet God. Is it because it's a particularly holy place? No, it's just a place where I've made the effort to go to, and God goes, I'm going to honour your commitment to be here. And that's what I have done throughout my life. 7 or 8 times, I've just got in a car and I've driven to the Ogden Valley in Snowdonia, miles away, because on that rock, that's where God called me into ministry. That's where God has spoken to me time and time again. And it's not because it's a magical place, because it's a place where I've made the effort to say, God, I want to encounter you here. I've journeyed to meet you. And for the wise men, what they do is they travel to encounter Jesus. Where's your place to go and encounter Jesus? That can be just the corner of your room. That can be here. It can be a particular walk that you like to go on. It hasn't got to be in Snowdonia. It's just, for me, that's where it is. When you get off track, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go to encounter Jesus afresh? Where do you go to meet him in new ways? Have you got a place? And if you haven't, think about what helps you meet Jesus. What helps you engage with him? Is it through listening to worship music? Is it through reading your Bible? Is it through actually time with someone who's a confidant that you can kind of share with and say, actually, I'm just really struggling with this right now. Where do you meet Jesus? Keep following him. So don't lose heart, don't get sidetracked, and keep following. Keep waiting on God's promises for your life, because they haven't come into being yet. They are to come, because God doesn't lie. But don't try and force it to happen. Wait on God's timing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story of the wise men, Lord, and how for them they travel from afar, having waited for hundreds of years. Lord, I pray that we would have their tenacity, Lord, not to lose heart when the thing that we've been waiting for seems such a far off distance. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't get sidetracked by things that seem like it's you, but actually it's not. And Lord, I pray that you would help us get back on track and see your star, see your light in our life, and follow you, so that we can worship you and take your promises from our heads to our heart. So Lord, would you bless us this morning, I pray. In Christ's name, amen.